listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Well, I've been a public figure for quite a long time, known to the world, for the whole world, for what? My style of rhyme. But tonight, let's talk about the ones who bite, although they know they won't never get it right. Because they have no class and they have no shame, and they'll bite another brother to boost their own name. Get paid correct on a one-way gimmick. I'm happy for you, lolas, but remember there's a limit. So say, teacher, teacher, tell me how you do it. It looks kind of easy like that, who's not into it? But they don't understand that the master will be the creator of the style. Who, me? Ricky D. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on
Yes we are. Hey baby, can you turn my sound up in my ear?
Okay, what,
so I can hear myself?
Is this it?
Yo. Yes, that's excellent, thank you.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, hey, it's the first Monday ever after Game of Thrones finale.
The first,
no more
one.
Game of Thrones,
it is over.
No more them Thrones. For all you Thrones junkies, haters and lovers alike, it's the end of an era. It's over. It's bittersweet. I miss all my black people talking about Game of Thrones together. I don't think we'll ever have another black show, another show like that, that's appointment viewing. It won't be the same after this, so
no, it won't be.
Oh man, but you know, we'll get into the recap of it with the Firestarter crew, and I don't want a spoiler alert, but at least it looked like Tone, or I don't know if it's Tone or Bob, but they didn't like the finale, so it might be another contentious
episode,
argumentative ass review, y'all. I'm sorry, but at least it'll be with the originators. No one better. Jazz on Vita, shit. I can't wait to do that. But for now, we have podcasting to get into. The Black Guy Who Tips, find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search The Black Guy Who Tips, leave us 5-star reviews, yada yada yada, y'all know what the story is. Mm-hmm. Leave them good 5-star reviews, we read them,
we do,
we love that stuff. I saw we got one from Sweden. I think that's our second one from Sweden, actually.
Shout out to y'all,
shout out to Sweden. I thought it was nothing but white people up there. See, they be lying to you. The white man will have you completely fucked up out here. But yeah, so do those, leave us comments, theblackouttips@gmail.com. I mean, yeah, it's the emails, theblackouttips.com. you can leave comments on the website. And this will be the last time that y'all write those long ass verbose feedbacks about Game of Thrones, venting your emotions on us, and then us being like, it's gonna be okay, but
it's gonna,
you know,
it's gonna be all right, y'all. I clear this,
it's real problems in the world, and I'm sorry that the show is making you want to do this stuff to yourself. Okay, so we'll have one last round of that, and then I'm telling y'all now, programming note, we are taking the motherfucking week off after that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer, but definitely that week. No, I am tired.
Yes sir,
we have been working hard since the beginning of the year. I don't think we really had a lot of breaks. We've had like a day off here, a day off there, we might take the day off tomorrow, kinda. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to not doing shit. I don't even want to do premium stuff that week. I don't want to do nothing, you hear me? So
we've been grinding, because you know, people who listen to the free stuff be like, y'all do a lot. Nah, them premium people, sometimes they get 3 and 4 episodes in a day. We be like giving you everything, so yeah, they know.
Those are people that see that we do a lot, so
come on,
you know, I want to do as little as possible. I'm not even planning on going nowhere, staycation, whatever. I'm just video gaming, watching TV, movies,
sleeping,
and shit, sleeping, doing stuff that just don't involve doing the podcast for a little bit, because I'm drained, man, and I don't want to do the show drained. You know, obviously I'm a professional, we get on this mic, as soon as it's time to record, it's on, but you know, I don't ever want to be drained doing what we're doing right now. You know, I don't ever want to feel like, oh my god, I got a podcast, like, because I love what I do, and I,
yes,
in order to keep it that way, sometimes you gotta take a break, recharge your batteries, come back with fresh shit, feel like nothing's really happening in the world anyway that people give a fuck about. So you sometimes you gotta take a week, let everybody else go crazy for a week. Maybe some of these podcasts can catch up that time off, okay? Step your game up, podcast.
Yeah, get some of the premium people time to catch up, cause they be like, I can't never catch up.
Yep. All right, let's see, what do we have to talk about today? I guess there's a bunch of
you know, I don't know,
bunch of little stuff to talk about. You know, I did want to tell people that I am on the season finale of The Chi, second season, and I like it. I like it, actually like it better than the first season. So that's a good ass show. I know
that's Lena, what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I know Lena Waithe isn't the showrunner anymore, but I binged season two in like 2 days. I think it's only 8 episodes, about an hour each. But yeah, man, that's a good black ass show. I don't see nobody talking about it. You know, I guess it's just, you know what I think? Negativity spreads faster than positivity.
Yes.
And I think that's what gotta be what it is, right? Because if The Chi was quote unquote problematic, like if it was really fucked up, I feel like everybody would know about it because everyone would be think piecing it, writing about tweets about it.
Yes.
Everyone would be like, oh my God, this is fucking, it's offensive. You have to watch this. You know, like negativity spreads like the speed of light. It's just bam. Like you don't even know. You walk in the house, it's like, smell this shit. It stinks. You know, you don't even get to sit on the couch yet. But with positivity, it's kind of like a candle burning in a room or like a flower that you have to water and all this shit and nurture and get it to bloom.
People don't want to put that effort in.
Yeah, well, it just takes longer for it to become something. You know, like it, when something's positive, it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed like unless it's already the biggest thing in the world before you even heard of it, it takes longer to make that thing known, you know? And The Chi feels like that to me, where I'm like, yo, this is actually really good, extremely black show, well done, good acting. And I don't know, for some reason, I just never see people fucking talking about that show. So, you know, if you guys, want to enjoy it, want to check out some really black shit, man, I suggest you go binge that shit. I enjoyed the hell out of it. All right, now let's get into the news. Travis Scott, the rapper who did the Super Bowl, who a lot of people don't like, they don't go up for Travis Scott. Well, sometimes you don't like people and they still do cool shit. He also is the baby's father of one of the Kardashians, or the Jenners or whatever. I don't keep up with that family. I don't know.
Ain't that the one that take the picture looking down?
He always take the picture like
he's that is him. Yes, he looking. He always take the picture like I don't want to be here.
He always like he should be holding up a newspaper with the day's date on it because he's a hostage in them papers pictures. Yes. Well, he donated merchandise proceeds from his Alabama show to Planned Parenthood.
Wonderful.
He's showing love to Planned Parenthood and the residents of Alabama by donating all the proceeds from his Hangout Fest show in the wake of the new Alabama and Missouri laws that ban abortion in almost all circumstances. I want to just donate my net profits from our merch today to Planned Parenthood. I love y'all, and I just want everyone to know that love is the strongest thing we can have. He said during his set before performing Scissors Love Galore. Yo, good for him. That's the one that's very relevant because he was performing there. You know, there's been a lot of speculation about his politics because he did the Super Bowl. And look, I'm black as the ace of spades, all that type of shit. I love being black, but I always thought the Super Bowl, watching the NFL games, was kind of a weird line to delineate who is woke and who is not when it comes to blackness. I think that's very subjective.
Yes, it is.
And very arbitrary. And that does not make somebody a coon because they went to perform at the Super Bowl. Mm-mm. But I think groupthink is so powerful now among, like, with social media and the fucking, like, you know, the way that we all kind of, like, get off on roasting people and shit. So it's like everybody's like, I told you he wasn't shit. And then he dating the Jenner, and people was bringing up comments from an interview he did like years ago where he talked about Black Lives Matter and Mike Brown, and I still remember being like, man, this doesn't make me feel comfortable at all. You know, like Jay-Z decided he didn't want to do it, and now anyone who wants to do it is a coon. Okay, cool. But I just think people are complicated. It's not as simple as black and white on that shit. And Planned Parenthood is under attack because women are under attack, and the right to your own body and the ability to carry a baby to term or to not is under attack for a lot of people's bodies, right? And to see like a rapper who most people would consider like not caring about this kind of shit come out and be like, yeah, I'm with Planned Parenthood, I'm taking the money from that I'm making in your state and making a statement that I'm not with the shit. You know, I know sometimes people like when artists boycott states that do things like this. But even Beyonce, when we had the trans ban law here, she donated to charity, but she still performed because there's people here that are fans of Beyonce that are not on that bullshit.
Mm-mm.
And people so feel like
y'all punishing me now.
Yeah, people feel like you're punishing the state, and then the state will somehow be like, oh, you got us.
They don't care.
But states are not 100% red or blue. Mm-mm. They're made of individuals, and the kind of people that want to go see a Beyonce concert and support her formation tour were not fucking there wasn't a bunch of them just sitting around like, you know what, man, I hate them trans people, but mm-hmm. I'm gonna go on to see Beyonce
they
tonight.
Was like, I want
to
go see Beyonce, I bought my tickets,
right? So it was just kind of interesting to see him do that. And then the boycott thing, like Georgia, people are saying Georgia needs to be boycotted because that 6-week heartbeat bill. And Stacey Abrams, everybody's fave, came out and said, nah, don't boycott Georgia, is not gonna help.
And you affecting the economy. You talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that now don't have jobs. You know, that shit boosts economies, like restaurants, and people don't really think about that shit when they go boycott because a lot of times it's not their states. I'm not trying to be funny. A lot of them boycott people. These ain't your states.
Right. So it's just kind of interesting to see people like, you know, kind of take that turn on folks, because it's like, this isn't the only action, and then penalizing the working people of this state who are not the people who pass these laws.
Right.
Keep in mind, these things don't go to vote. These aren't mm-hmm. referendums. This happened to our state. I live here, so I know. They didn't vote on any of this shit. Like, Republicans who were either already in office, we're just like, yeah, so we're gonna just pass this shit in the middle of the night
in a closed session,
and you wake up in the morning and you're like, when the fuck did we get a bathroom bill?
Right, where the fuck did it come from? That's because they voting on it at 3 a.m. in the morning,
and it's not like, yeah, it's not public that they're voting on it, it's not announced that they'll be voting on it, and then you as a citizen of the state don't even get a fucking chance to vote on it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, some of this stuff I think is easy to demonize from outside the state, especially the South.
It's easy
to demonize the South, right? It's, oh, the South is all terrible. You know, it's not like those northern states so great, you know?
Right.
Like, all the black people there are doing great.
Either.
All the women there are doing great. All the, you know, so it's that kind of thing. So, yeah, Stacey Abrams said, while I support those who want to live their values by not bringing their resources here, I do not want to harm the citizens of Georgia who are doing this work. That's what she was saying about the telling people not to boycott. So yeah, it's just interesting because, you know, Stacey Abrams is a lot of people's fave and they want her to run for president and shit like that, and they was on some like, boycott Georgia, and then she came out and was like, nah. And it makes you wonder, like, how did they compartmentalize that so that she can still be their fave? Or does she change their mind at all? Do they go, I fuck what she's saying, she a coon now? Like, I wonder how they treat it, because, you know, people really get off on, like, ostracizing one person and being like, this person's a piece of shit now. So, anyway, just interesting shit to think about.
Yeah, and truth be told, a lot of these matters and issues are very complex. And online, like you said, for people like to treat shit black and white. And like I said, a lot of these people talking I see online, you don't live in these states. This shit does not directly impact you. A lot of these industries you're not in. So you don't care about, you quote unquote want to punish the people passing the laws. But people passing laws don't give a fuck if you come or if you go.
Yeah, their pockets are lined.
Right.
By special interest groups and shit, regardless. Pat McCrory knew that he was basically tanking his governorship to be transphobic. But that Coke money, that Coke brother money, that shit don't.
It's nice.
Yeah, that shit folds. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care that their career is done. It's like, I got mine, so fuck the people in my state. It's some crazy shit. But yeah, and each state is different. Juwan said it was on our ballot here in Alabama. So yeah, it's different for different states, I guess. But I know here it wasn't.
Yeah, and we got no vote, y'all.
And Georgia is especially interesting because Georgia went blue. It got the closest to going blue. And Stacey Abrams only lost because of just voter suppression and a rigged like election.
Agreed.
Georgia's not the state that people think it is. Like, people hear these laws and they go, oh, that whole state is trash, they're terrible, they're just a bunch of Republicans down there. And it's like, not really. Like, you just don't understand because you're not here.
Right.
But it's not as black and white as you think on the outside looking in. So
right, because like you said, a lot of times people think of the South, they think of backwoods and all this other type of shit, and you like, well, everybody down here not stupid and dumb, just like everybody up north ain't might not be the smartest and the brightest either, and they are parts of the country upstate where if you go out further enough, it's like it looks just like down here, the motherfucking country.
Yeah. All right, multiple federal indictments to be filed against R. Kelly. Good. The ongoing federal investigation into R. Kelly's sexual assault trial will be wrapping up within the next few weeks, with a good chance the singer will be facing indictments in both New York and Illinois. Yeah, man, feds don't play.
Mm-mm.
Like, this ain't CPD no more.
Oh, no. They took this to another motherfucking level.
Sources close to the investigation say witness testimony will be presented in front of the grand juries in both the Southern District of New York and the Northern District of Illinois. The charges mostly deal with sex trafficking and tax evasion.
Yeah, that tax shit, they don't play with their fucking money.
Yeah, that's how they get a lot of people.
Right.
According to the blast, ICE Homeland Security investigation officials have been specifically interested in how Kelly and his team were allegedly able to purchase plane tickets for underage girls and transport them around the country while he was performing. ICE is responsible for investigating crimes of human trafficking, sex trafficking, and child exploitation. The other thing I like about it being ICE that's investigating this from a federal level is that they may get the people who are in his network that enable him, because
they gonna start going down too.
Yeah, he's not a very smart man. He's illiterate. That means he has people around him who facilitate the abuse of these young girls.
And get them around and get them where they need to be and right.
Keep them coordinated from seeing each other and all this type of shit. Seeing their parents. So I hope those motherfuckers go to jail too. I know we need them to like snitch to make like people like him go down, but they're complicit as well. They may not have participated in anything sexual. I don't care if you know what this man does and you're setting up a travel itinerary for a fucking underage girl, you deserve some level of punishment. You can't just go free. And I hope Kamala Harris gets these motherfuckers and throws them in jail forever, because I think it's disgusting. And a man like that doesn't get away without a lot of people helping.
He got to.
And this isn't just turning a blind eye, which, you know, I can, not saying that it's good or bad or whatever, but I can understand this idea of like, I turned a blind eye to this, or I didn't know, or I'm ignorant to this, I didn't see it was this bad. No, I'm talking your ass knows if you're his assistant.
Come on.
You can't, there's not a way you don't know. You're not shocked when these allegations come out. Fuck out of my face. In March, multiple interviews were conducted in Georgia with additional victims and witnesses, one of which included Kelly's ex-stylist, and another involved a new accuser who claimed she was a victim of sexual abuse by Kelly and also witnessed sexual abuse of other women. The family of his girlfriend, Jocelyn Savage, met with investigators and provided information as well as physical evidence, including plane tickets, text messages, and photos. The evidence provided by the family heavily contributed to the federal case against Kelly. Here's the thing I also would throw in there, because people were really going hard on her family. But this evidence and information has probably been available the whole time. Nobody gave a fuck.
No, they did not.
Like it was really that Surviving R. Kelly documentary, I think, they did it. Because this was an open motherfucking secret.
Right.
Like, this was not a, oh my God, R. Kelly's doing what? Motherfuckers have known for decades now. There's no excuse for this shit. Guns, fingerprints, and rental car linked Kodak Black to a March shooting.
Oh.
That boy is determined to go to jail. The feds have been watching. According to them, Florida rapper Kodak Black, oh, he's from Florida, that explains a lot, has been linked to a March shooting targeting an alleged rival rapper. Yo, these rappers are really trying to kill each other.
Like, for real, though.
I feel like this is the most underreported story of our time right now. Is even in the wake of Nipsey, these niggas are trying to kill each other on a daily. Like, I don't even really follow these niggas like this, and every day I feel like I'm covering a story where it's like, and this rapper got shot at, and this rapper got shot at, over what?
over motherfucking what?
Prosecutors say Kodak bought 3 weapons, over 100 rounds of ammunition in February. The problem is, one of those weapons reportedly had his fingerprints on it at the scene of a non-fatal shooting in Golden Acres neighborhood in Pompano Beach, Florida. Reportedly using forged documents from January to purchase firearms, Kodak bought a Mini Draco, a SIG MPXK 9mm, and a SIG P238 380 handgun. Federal prosecutors say that the MPXK was the weapon that they found after the shooting. According to a complex, a Porsche Panamera Kodak rented was found abandoned away from the scene by police officers. This is not even a clever crime.
Mm-mm.
They know you rented the shit, homie. Why would it be abandoned right around the scene? What? After downloading the GPS data from the car, they pinpointed at the scene of the shooting during the suspected time frame of the incident. Literally, his car was at the scene with GPS, and they got his fingerprints on a weapon.
Wow!
His attorney, Bradford Cohen, at this point, I might as well be the attorney. I mean, this has to be the easiest job in the world. You know the nigga's guilty and he gonna lose. And then you get to be his attorney and get paid. Like, what are you supposed to say? Like, they ain't got my client on no tape. Like,
yeah, that's it. You, they ain't got him on tape. That's the most you can say.
Kodak's attorney, Bradford Cohen, responded to prosecutors' claims, stating there are currently no reports that Kodak's fingerprints were on the gun. Witnesses came forward to us as well, stated they did not see Kodak Black at the scene that night, he stated. How is that a defense? Some people say it wasn't him. So,
Your Honor,
not guilty. Investigators say they found a live round jammed in the chamber of the MPXK. Cohen insists that multiple people vouched for Kodak's alibi that night. However, prosecutors say they have witnesses coming forward saying he was there the night of shooting. Someone's gonna have like selfies or something,
live video, Instagram chat, something gonna happen.
Somebody in this day and age, I don't even know how you can lie. If like, you better be 100% sure. Nobody was taking no photos, no pictures, no selfies, no nothing,
no Instagram, no Snapchat,
nobody. Yeah, you know, Instagram live that night. Nobody shit
went live on Facebook, nothing.
Oh my goodness, that dude is headed to jail on a one-way trip. Lil Nas X partners with Wrangler for a cap collection.
Make that money.
Yeah, I would probably support this.
Boots too soon. Hmm? So you got jeans, and where the boot company's at?
I would support this, but we all know capitalism is bad, guys. So, as a socialist, I feel like he should not make any money from his music, and should have to live in, you know, abject poverty for the rest of his life. Boy. I'm just saying, Karen.
Mm-mm.
Stick to your principles, okay?
Mm-mm.
We can't be securing the bag. Okay, what about the people that can't afford the bag? What about the people that have to make those bags, Karen? In other countries, and they don't get paid, and tiny fingers get smashed in the machines, also we can secure the metaphysical bag?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so, sister.
I just disagree, homeboy.
Well, good luck to him.
Yes, good luck. That song been number one for 7 weeks straight.
Wow. He did drop Wrangler in the song. Shout out to Black people always giving away something free. That's what we love to do. But shout out to Wrangler for being like,
We
would like to compensate you for that. Cause he did say Wrangler on my booty.
Yes!
Let's see. Abortions in Ireland will be free for all women. Just months after legalization vote.
But America the best?
Yeah, I mean.
You let white folks tell that America's number one in everything.
First, they legalized abortion, which is, you know, that's historic. That was in May. It's a traditionally conservative land with, of course, a huge influence on the Catholic Church, but the landslide victory for legalization was a prime example of how liberal voters are increasingly making their mark on legislation. The abortion referendum bill was signed Tuesday and removed the controversial Eighth Amendment from the law. According to NPR, Health Minister Simon Harris told reporters Wednesday it was an extraordinarily historic day. When asked how the country will handle medical expenses for abortion, he said, "Yes, it is my intention that the services will be free." Wow. That's how you do it.
Your taxes gonna motherfucking go up anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. Like, they was just like, these are these women's bodies, and it ain't for nobody else to decide. Mm-mm. And it shouldn't even be a burden of cost. They didn't go, what about rape and incest? They were like, mm-hmm. It's just your choice. That's the end.
Right. And if you opt not to, you don't have to. People act like, when you say, I'm pro-choice, you act like, it's almost like they feel like you're forcing them to have an abortion. I'm not forcing you to do anything. That's the point of being pro-choice. You want to have it, fine. You don't want to have it, fine. Just that option and that choice.
I wonder if we're going to get to a point where motherfuckers going to be like, I guess I got to go to Ireland to get an abortion.
I guarantee you, you're going to start seeing Americans taking trips over there.
That's what the Republicans going to send their mistresses.
You know they are.
That's going to happen. It's just going to happen to just coincidentally be going to Ireland for a little bit. Okay.
Random vacations.
Interesting point of view. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else is happening. How about this? Whitney Houston's estate is planning a hologram tour, Broadway musicals, and a new album and more for the late star. Would you go to a hologram concert of Whitney Houston, Karen?
No.
Why not?
I never got to put like this. I guess for me, it would depend on how the technology is live. But I guess because it might be an old thing. I never seen a lot of people live, so I'm like, well, I just missed that opportunity to see you live, and I just call it a loss on my part. You know, and you know, holograms might be great, but I guess in my mind, I know that's not really you, if that makes sense. So I'm like, well, that's not really you, so I'm good.
Yeah, I wonder what they can do with a hologram, like, because I could see it being dope, but it's almost like some futuristic, like the Fifth Element shit.
Yeah, some Jetson shit. It's almost like my mind can't wrap around it. I'm just keeping the truth. My mind literally can't wrap around the concept right now. So I'm like, well, let me see what it do.
Well, we've seen holograms before on TV and stuff, like Tupac hologram thing. I remember seeing that. But what I mean is, like, how far are they taking it? Is it just going to be Whitney Houston? Because, like, a hologram doesn't need a break to change clothes.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
not.
Can they just, like, make the hologram, like, change into a different dress right in front of everybody, like, you know, just morph into a different version of Whitney Houston? Like, can she be like Whitney Houston from the 80s and Whitney Houston from the 90s? Like, it just makes you wonder, like, what all they're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Like, for the technological standpoint of it, I could see being at least interested in what it's gonna look like.
Yeah. And when you put it like that, I bet you if they do it right, it would probably be something beautiful to see. You know, just the morphing and the changing, you know, with all the technology and stuff we have now. You know, I'm not completely against it, you know, but like I said, it will be something that I will have to see before I go, oh, okay.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. We'll see what happens. I don't know how that works. And then I don't know if people are going to feel like it's blasphemous. Like, she's dead, let her rest. Why are y'all doing this to a great legend? Da 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 da. What other stars did they do this for? Like, Aaliyah? You know, with Tupac and Big Dude? You know, like, how does that work? And I guarantee you, if they find a way to make money off this shit, mm-hmm. you're gonna see a lot more people being like, I'm gonna pimp my dead relative's estate because, you know, there's still money to be made off of touring and it's just a hologram. Nobody even really gotta be there.
Nope.
You know, like if Prince can do it, or maybe if just like somebody like gets sick and they can do like a hologram instead of themselves. You know, like what if Lauryn Hill start doing, like, either Lauryn Hill shows up, but if not, you get a hologram concert. You see what I'm saying? Like, I wonder if people be okay with that. Huh?
I said it will be on time.
Yeah, hologram concert starts on time. You don't have to worry about the hologram being late or getting his chakras in line. The hologram always got his chakras there. So, I mean, I don't know, that might, I can see some alternatives to this not being a bad thing, you know, but it all depends on how that motherfucking hologram look like, like what, like how the technology actually looks,
right?
But yeah, that's crazy, man. I also wonder if people are gonna ridicule folks for buying tickets.
You know they will.
Like, oh, you gonna buy a ticket for a fucking hologram? You know, I don't know, just wonder. Let's see, a judge says Washington state cyber stalking law violates free speech. Washington was one of the first states to fight cyber stalking through legislation, but it may have to rethink its approach. A federal judge has blocked the state's 2004 law after ruling that a key provision violated First Amendment protections for free speech due to vague terms. Its prohibitions against speech meant to harass, intimidate, torment, and embarrass weren't clearly defined. According to the judge, and effectively criminalize a large range of language guarded under the Constitution. You could theoretically face legal action just by criticizing a public figure.
That's not the motherfucking same.
Right. Well, I think what they're trying to say is it's too vague, so you have to refine it into some very specific, like, actions.
Right. So, because if you be like, these are the words, people will start not using those words. Well, then that defeats the fucking purpose.
Well, not really, no, because it doesn't defeat the purpose, because if you define something, then you're actually trying to get people not to do those actions. So if they don't do those actions, then you might have won. It depends on what the actions are. So if we say cyber stalking, how are we going to define it? Well, we just say criticizing, embarrassment, intimidation, or whatever, right? People might be like, okay, well, Karen, I said I don't like your podcast, and Karen said, I'm suing you, you're cyber stalking me, you're okay. Like, I feel intimidated. And so the judge is gonna be like, how do we enforce this? Like, what are we determining cyber stalking? If, you know, they have laws against threats on the books already,
and I guess that's kind of where I kind of take it. But like you said, it's all into interpretation. So from that perspective, I understand, make it more defined. Like, you don't have to say these, because my thing was like, what are you going to say, like keywords? No, you don't have to have keywords, but it needs to be, for court purposes, it needs to be more defined.
Yeah, I think, and then also, if we're going to be fair, because see, people always think of this shit from their side.
Right.
Right, we're always like, as liberal people, we should, okay, let's think about it the other way. How many of y'all have ever, like, added Donald Trump and said, fuck you, or some shit? Should he be able to sue you for that?
Right.
You know, he's a public figure. He's the president of the United States. He says wild shit inappropriately to people all the time. If you were to say, you know, go fuck yourself, Mitch McConnell, I don't know that should be considered cyber stalking. And the judge is basically saying, with the word language y'all have chosen,
it's too vague.
I don't know I don't know that I can uphold this shit.
Now, when you say it like that, that part I agree, because no matter what people say, when the shit goes to court, shit like that matters. When you got lawyers and people involved, they're gonna be like, what is the true definition? Because once you get vague, that becomes a problem.
Yeah, and our laws weren't really designed with the internet in mind.
No.
Even in 2004, the cyber stalking law was definitely about the internet, right? They clearly made this law for that. And even then, shit has changed since 2004. Twitter has come around, you know, Facebook has come around. They, you know, the people that create multiple accounts to harass people.
Right.
People that, you know, report people's shit. People that literally physically threaten folks. People that, you know, use anonymity to threaten folks. Like, there's a lot of moving parts on the internet for us to be establishing law on it, and then to be vague. It has to be specific, unfortunately. I actually hate that this wasn't just like, okay, yeah, the end, like, don't cyber stalk people. I also understand that in a court of law, like, shit is really interpretive, if people can interpret shit very differently, and you have to be careful with that shit with judges and a jury, because you just never fucking know. You know, it reminds me of when like, how Facebook can't even determine what harassment is, really.
Mm-mm.
Right? You say, white people are trash, you banned. You say, if you say something like, these black bitches is crazy, no. You're not banned. So even the fucking places we put this shit on don't know what's against the rules or not. It's crazy, man. Anyway, I hope they do revise that law, if it's possible, you know, to clear it up any further. Or they maybe have to start defining terms like what is internet harassment versus other types of harassment.
Right, and that's the thing. If you're going to call it that, it needs to almost have its own category, like separate to itself. And these are the things that apply online.
Right, because it's not like they should give up. I hope they don't. No. I hope they don't just go, well, fuck it. Because this is a real problem. Cyberstalking is real. Online threats are real. It's possible to prosecute these things, but you just need to take a little more time and get it right, you know? So I hope that, you know, I hope something comes up, because like I said, I've seen a bunch of fucking, I've seen a bunch of that type of behavior before.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else is happening. Man, some of these are so old. I just didn't cover them. You know what? Let's do one of these show stories. I haven't done one of these in a long time. A bride asked guests to dress based on their weight and had a polygraph test for those who snitched on her.
What? Is this real? What site is this?
Fempositive.com. You must not want nobody to come.
Man, let me see what other articles they got on this site. Like, this might be one of them Facebook, like, fake ass stories and shit. Recent post. Woman ranking the man of Game of Thrones as sandwiches is all you need today. Oh, that did happen, I think. I did see that on Twitter. Border DNA test show 30% of migrants lied about family ties of children to claim asylum. Male feminist asks female artist to draw a free portrait, goes crazy when she refuses. I don't know if these are real or not. Jason Bateman won't work in Georgia. No, that's real. Okay. All right. I'm going to treat it as if it's real. Okay. I think those stories are real. So anyway, we're not quite sure if the thought of getting married soon temporarily messes with their heads or if it's really who they are. But some brides really deserve the term bridezilla to be accredited to them. Yeah, we get it that the bride is and should be the center of the wedding ceremony, but it doesn't mean what? No. It doesn't mean that she is the center of the universe. The bride-to-be, for example, made up dress code demands that were so ridiculous they managed to get their way on the internet. The worst part was when she found out about it. You guessed it right. It wasn't a wake-up call for her. Check out the full story below, okay? So this is her post, okay? Here we go. Hi, everyone. Who's ready for Hawaii 2019? In anticipation of the wedding, and believe me, I know it's a long way away, but 3 ring emojis. I would still like to announce the dress code. I am giving you a long notice of a year and a half so that you will find the time to pick out something nice. The dress code is very specific because it will be used to create an incredible visual effect. If done right, it will make our synchronized dancing along the blank beach really pop. Oh, you gotta do synchronized dancing at the, how they gonna learn? That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I never had a wedding, but if I had one, it would be the most relaxed wedding. I was like, my thing was everybody would be required. The only thing I would require is everybody would have to wear like their favorite comic book character or a comic book character t-shirt. It's casual dress.
Don't invite me to shit, homie. Women, 100 to 160 pounds. Green velvet sweater.
100 to 160 pounds.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said. Orange suede pants. Louboutin heels, the famous red-heeled shoes. When we spin and lift our feet, the effect will amaze you. And a Burberry scarf.
Are you buying Louis Vuitton shoes?
Okay, can we go down this again? Green velvet sweater? Where am I supposed to get that?
So now I gotta fucking lose weight? What happened if I don't get to the size?
Orange suede pants? Green and orange. Y'all gonna be looking like fucking Mr. Pumpkins. The fuck? Louboutin heels.
Them shit's expensive.
Right. And we're wearing them on a beach, right? What? And a Burberry scarf.
I didn't know what Burberry is. Sound like the ice cream.
You clearly know that is a fashion brand. You clearly know. Even context clues could have told you what it is. You just like to not know things. Men 100 to 200 pounds, purple fuzzy jacket, soda hat, all white trainers, and plain glow sticks. Women that are 160 pounds plus, all black sweater and pants, any material, black heels. Basically, they want to make you as small and invisible as possible. Men 200 pounds plus, all camouflage and black sneakers. We're going to just try to blend you in with the background. Stand over by those trees and your camouflage.
Blend in with the coconuts and the ocean.
Children, red head to toe. Remember, the kids will form the shape of a heart. It needs to be a true red, not blood orange or some bullshit. Additionally, we will require that you wear formal attire after the dancing has ended. Please bring a change of clothing. Remember, the venue is extremely upscale and we want to be looking our absolute best, ladies and gents. Three ring emojis, please.
I'm not coming.
If you look like trash, so will we. All jokes aside, we want you to invest in an outfit valued at least $1,000.
What?
This includes jewelry, accessories, makeup, and hair. And remember, ladies and gents, this wedding isn't 24K themed for a reason. You have to a year and a half to get working. No excuses, mwah.
You don't get the fuck out of here. Am I gonna write this on my goddamn taxes?
Sounds like a very fun lady to be around. I mean, why wouldn't you want to go to her wedding? And in case you think it was a joke, this is the accompanying picture that went with it that was a suggestion to what the women guests are supposed to wear.
Oh no.
That are between 100 and 160 pounds. You gotta wear that. Men 100 to 200 pounds have to wear this. I swear to God, I don't get. What is this hat again? What does she call this hat?
I don't know, but that's, you put beers in it.
She called it a, soda hat. So you, what the fuck was the theme of this motherfucking Oompa Loompa ass shit?
Come on!
What the fuck? And then, however, she realized someone had uploaded her invitation to Reddit.
Right.
So that's what she wrote. This is what she wrote afterwards. Cause I got a snitch if you do it, right?
Right. I know people looked at that like, what the fuck is this?
This thing where people don't realize the internet is real and you say some crazy shit, someone might screenshot it and be like, hey y'all, look at this crazy ass shit someone did. All right. So here she goes. Flower emoji. And then, hello invitees. Flower emoji. A very important update. Please read. It has come to my attention that someone went all the way down in this group's creation to screenshot the dress code requirements. The screenshot was taken wildly out of context and has gone semi-viral on Facebook and Reddit. I have seen my post twice on the regular Facebook account. I could not be more crushed, betrayed, or saddened. I trust each and every one of you so intimately. Knowing someone went behind my back and made fun of me is one of the worst feelings everywhere.
Not anywhere. Everywhere.
Worst feelings everywhere. Of all the feelings in all the world, in all the locations.
Everywhere, y'all. Everywhere.
My feelings is one of the worst. And boy, will you be paying. Therefore, I am announcing one of the most unique parties you will ever be invited to in your life, besides my actual wedding. In honor of the snitch who sold me out, I will be hosting the first ever polygraph party at my house this Saturday at 8 p.m.
What the fuck is going to that?
Bring your inner Sherlock Holmes, because we will be hunting out the snitch who put me on blast. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. We just bought a real polygraph test for $99 on Amazon. After the testing is over and we find who the rat who did this, we will all celebrate with drinks and appetizers. And if you can't make it to the polygraph party, you will be presumed guilty unless you can provide a valid excuse. We can make this party a unique and good one that will be told for years to come. I promise, as long as you're innocent, you have nothing to worry about. Smiley emoji. I highly suggest whoever did this just tell me. I won't retaliate. I will simply cut all ties and communication with you and talk shit about you for a long, long time.
That's retaliation.
If you have, I will just kill your dog and shoot you in the face. Other than that, I won't do anything. And if you have any information about who violated my trust in my wedding planning, I will give you $100.
Ooh, that's a 10% discount on your outfit.
Apparently it is.
Y'all better snap to that.
Next, if any of you aren't happy with the dress code requirements, it's okay. You can come talk to me instead of participating in the dance, and you can help the crew clean up after.
The bitch, do what? I can do what?
I said you can help the clean crew, Karen, okay? I'm not helping. Get a mop and a broom and get to work.
I'm not helping clean shit. I already paid to get here, bitch.
Volunteer to take video of our dance or even contribute to the honeymoon. Anything counts.
No.
Flower emoji. Finally, I am outraged at the comments these internet trolls have made about the dress code. Do you fucking know me? Do you know why we are doing this way? Now, then shut up. Go back to your scum basement and play video games and never fucking make comments about people you don't know. My husband and I are certified spiritual healers with over 10 years of experience. You all know this. Our wedding colors, fabrics, and intimate synchronized dance are something we hold very dear to our hearts. The expensive clothing represents the riches we wish to come. The black and camouflage outfits represent the aura of the devil that we must shoo away.
Wait, why are the fat people gotta be the devil?
Wow.
She's telling on herself.
Wow. Camouflage in black? Wow. You fat, you coming my way and you the devil. Oh, sis.
The soda hats represent our wishes for our abundance of life-saving liquid.
What?
No. You get the picture. No, we don't. Mm-mm. No one gets the picture. We met at a psychic desensitization chamber over 12 years ago in Italy. As you all know, why not bring our traditions and beliefs into our wedding? Would you show up at an Indian person's wedding and make fun of their culture and their tradition? If not, don't judge ours.
Okay, so you just made up a bunch of shit and then compared it to like tradition and culture of an actual race of people.
Thousands of years of history and culture. Generations.
With your little fat people out of devil ass dance routine you gonna do? Anyway, I'm so tired of having to explain myself over and over. Please keep me updated. Some people did leave comments. Is the incredible visual effect the bride is trying to create with a green, orange, purple, black, red, and camo color scheme a seizure?
Oh. So
I've never been, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say the idea of having to wear sweaters, suede pants, velvet hats, jackets, no matter what time of year you're in Hawaii is going to be a disgusting sweaty mess, especially if I'm expected to dance.
Cause you know it's going to be hot.
Has anyone considered how awful this color scheme is? Oh my God. They made little figures. Oh my God.
Oh, these are hilarious. Oh, one of them got a Pepsi can upside their head. That's fucking hilarious.
Oh my God. Oh, that's too good. I gotta save this picture. Oh my God. Hold on a second.
That's fucking good.
Oh my God. That is so fucking good. The can on top of his head is sending me. And then all ninja looking fat guess if you're coming, you don't have to, but I guess you can. Look at this. Children in red, like some motherfucking us shit. What? What's wrong with this woman?
The bottom of the feet of one of them in red.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, because the heels.
Right.
And then the other people don't even got pants because she didn't say what kind of pants the men need to wear.
So she just kept them blank. I mean, they kept it blank.
Oh my God.
That's fucking hilarious.
Oh my God. Yeah, people have mad comments through the rest of this. So they're going to do a synchronized dance on the beach in high heels. Good luck with that.
Right. Come on.
Do you even know if every one of your guests can wear high heels?
Right.
So she even separated in my way. I love how she equates a spiritual healing profession, which could have quotation marks around it, to be honest, with Indian culture. I also love that she bought a $99 polygraph test from Amazon and will assume anyone who doesn't come or doesn't want to come to their soon to be infamous polygraph party is guilty of betraying them. But she won't retaliate. That's for non-spiritual people who are enlightened. She'll just cut you out of her life and talk mad shit about you after doing so. Like someone at peace with the universe. So you see, fat people represent the devil, or dot dot dot. I don't know this lunatic, or I will 100% go just for all of you, but I do know people who know her, so hopefully there's an update on it soon. I hate that this wedding is still over a year away and we have to wait that for that lucid nightmare for so long. Who the fuck still going?
Right, who is,
can y'all imagine still going to this?
No.
What? Like, this wedding should have an attendance of one. Like, not even her husband should show up. Oh my god, nigga. That's disgusting. Oh my god. What a horrible, horrible human being.
Yeah, that's 100% white.
Oh, for sure, that's some white people shit. I mean, did we have to
I am disgusted.
Yeah, I am disgusted.
Disgusted.
The nerve. I wish a nigga would. Boy, I swear to God.
I'd tear that motherfucking shit up and be like, no, I'm not coming, bitch. We can't be friends no more then.
Right.
I guess I'm the guilty party because my ass ain't coming.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's do some games.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe and find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we assign point scores from 0 to Dracarys in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. I said, stop. Okay. You know what I'm thinking? We should do 0 to 100, but then if something is more than 100, we can finally go Dracarys.
Yeah, if it's really bad.
If it's over 100, because I think, you know, 0 to 100 is good. But occasionally, we get a Dracarys. And we need to have a word for it, because people always go, is there anything over 100? Yes, Dracarys.
Yeah, if it's
burn all the white people at King's Landing to soot.
If it really got you fuming.
Yeah. Rest in peace to a true ally. All right. School canceled Spirit Week after students wear cornrows and chains for Thug Day.
Who approved Thug Day?
A Houston high school canceled the remainder of its annual Spirit Week after students wore cornrows, chains, baggy jerseys for an official Thug Day. On Tuesday, unofficial Thug Day.
Yeah. I'm about to say, what school administrative approved this?
Also, why is your version of Thug Day the rapper Fabulous from 2004? You know what I mean? Like, right. What the fuck? Y'all know who. Like, white people ain't got no idea what black people do.
Nope.
They not dressed like your little Yachty or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. They just like
nobody knew.
Like, niggas don't even wear jerseys no more. What are y'all not talking like that.
About? God. Not unless they go on to the basketball games.
How the fuck you racist and don't even keep up with us? Keep up with the trends, people. Jesus.
Yes, at least be racist and trendy.
This is embarrassing. On Tuesday, the day's theme was Jersey Day, but Memorial High School senior Rachel Goodwin said many students call it Thug Day instead. In photos Goodwin posted on Twitter, white students are posing in oversized jerseys, fake tattoo sleeves, and baggy shorts. One student had the word thug written on her right hand knuckles. Here's some pictures. Look, it's the 53%. It's white women. Problematic sometimes. They should have just been like, we were dressing like Kardashians. They would have been straight. Is that a gang sign he thinks he's holding up?
Yes, it is.
And I think he has a cigar.
A Swisher Sweet?
Yeah, I think he has a Black and Mild in his,
if I said that right.
Yeah. And her shit got hip hop on her leggings. To quit. What the fuck?
Taking it back to MC Hammer. I don't know what's happening.
There are no black kids to be found in any of these pictures.
You know it's not.
They're not found in any of their pictures either, of course. All right, other photos show students with fake tattoos reading swag and wearing handcuffs. Oh, handcuffs. You know how us thugs love wearing handcuffs. Memorial High School Thug Day for Rising Spirit, Senior Spirit Week. Yes, this actually happened to actual high school, but y'all keep saying racism is a problem anymore. Right, alright. Well, look, as long as we wait for the old white people to die, it'll go away.
Well, we're not.
The young kids aren't gonna be racist.
Am I lying to you?
Yeah, of course, then, the other thing that happens, and guys,
I hope this doesn't get my black card revoked. Okay, I don't want to be a bad black person, so please take this in the spirit that it's intended. But as a black person that already knows that this is racist, I low-key hate when Twitter becomes every nigga on the planet retweeting the tweet and being like, this is racist, let me tell you the ways. I hate that shit. I know we gotta do it, people can't help themselves. I just try to like ignore, log off, mute. I know, okay, I know this makes me a bad black person. Maybe nobody on the earth can relate to me right now, and I'm out here standing before y'all vulnerable and honest, but some fucking times I'm like, who want to be the 17,000th nigga to be like, so this is racist, these cornrows and these jerseys, you know what I mean? Like, y'all don't ever get tired of that. Like,
apparently they don't.
It's like, because it's not like they're saying it to other black people. We're like, look at this racist shit. Like, I'm cool with that. I can do that all day. We black. It's an in-house conversation. It's like, this shit is racist. Y'all niggas see this?
Right. It's cool. Racist, ain't it?
I don't mind that at all. I don't think there's anything bad or wrong. But this thing where we have to like explain to white people our humanity over, like every time something racist happens, like, this is why this hurts me, because our hair, if we do this, we can't get a job, but they do this and they think it's a joke. And it's like, don't, who are the white people that are being informed by that? They're like, I had no idea.
Right. Either they know or they don't give a fuck.
Cause my assumption is not that these kids don't know. My assumption is that these motherfuckers know, and they did it because they thought it was hilarious.
Correct.
So it's not like they need to be educated. They are educated. Black people wear their stuff like this in their minds, and this is funny because this is what black people do. You know? Like, I don't know. I feel y'all, though. I never say this online because I don't even want to start the fight. And I know this is some people's money making brand. This is some people's like job. Like, hey, I'm a professor. I got to break this shit down. I don't look forward to telling these white folks this shit is racist. But I don't know. Some days, man, I'll be like, this shit about to go viral. Cause every
nigga. You can almost immediately tell too.
Fitting to be like, yo, this shit racist. And listen, white people, this reminds me of when I was in third grade and I had cornrows. I'm like,
for the tweet thread.
It just turned into a big ass Negro spiritual online when moments like this happen. And I hate it, man. Like I said, I hate to feel that way, but. You know, it could just be the people I've chosen to follow over the years, and it's just now these type of things create like huge tidal waves on my timeline. But it's definitely racist, though. They ain't wrong, and I get why they feel that way, because it's definitely triggering and all that type of shit. I mean, it's fucked up, but these white people ain't never gonna get it anyway. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, that's a motherfucking 100.
Yeah, I give this one 100. I would give it a Dracarys, to be honest, but somebody snitched, so that's good. Like, whoever was the person that snitched, shout out to you.
Somebody was like, y'all see these white folks?
One of them white kids was like, I am not with the shits.
Like, they was like, I'll take your pictures, but they the woke one. They probably told right. them, that's a, you know, that's not a good idea, right?
Wait till they see this. Like, somebody was on top of that shit. Wait till they see this shit on the gram. Y'all some dummies. Let's see. A YouTube star tweets a video of his black cousin, Peanut, acting as a stool to help a little white girl get onto a swing. I saw this one as well.
What?
Yeah, this was, I won't lie, guys. This one was pretty bad. Well, I guess they're all pretty bad, right? But anyway, this one was pretty bad. I saw it on Twitter, you know, like a video. I saw the original tweet, and I just remember being like, homie, this is not gonna go the way you think this is gonna go. Like, oh man, what?
That don't even sound.
Yeah, so the YouTube star obviously is not black, and he's like,
okay, so the person that posted it is not black.
No, so white person, and this is his adopted cousin, Peanut.
Oh
yeah, and that's a little white girl who couldn't get into a swing because it was too tall. So Peanut got on his hands and knees on the ground and let her step on his back to boost her up to the swing set, and Cole LeBrant recorded it and then posted it to the internet because
these YouTube and Instagram motherfuckers really think everything is from their life is shareable and a lesson to be learned, when honestly you should keep some of this shit to yourself. But yeah, he's facing backlash over it.
Yes, that doesn't look good.
Yeah, he tweeted it and said someone could be heard saying, oh my goodness, sweet boy. He said, this is my adopted cousin Peanut, helping girls get off and back on the swings. We all need to be more like Peanut, he wrote in his tweet. People were quick to call the YouTuber out for racism, including the daughter of Martin Luther King Jr. When many of us see a video, we are reminded of the dehumanization of our ancestors depicted in this photo. This dehumanization of black people still exists in many forms today, said Bernice King, an activist and daughter of MLK. The video you share isn't cute to us. It's not cute for a black boy to be a stool.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
it's history of that. We got historical pictures of this shit.
And of course, the deeper part of it is, and I mean, you hate to go there, but like, people be adopting black kids, but they don't know our culture, and they don't do any research, and they don't care to learn, and they think, I'll just teach this kid to not see color, and da da da. And then they do shit like this, and you're like, a black parent would never let this happen, because a black parent would be aware of the historical implications of that. No.
Never.
You know, and if a, and to be even, you know, more understanding than I really need to be, if a black parent saw this happen with their child, a black parent is probably just gonna tell their kid, they're not posting it online, they're not sharing it, they're gonna tell their kid, hey, no, don't do that.
Right.
And then why? Well, let me tell you why. Okay, I hate to, like, because we also hate to tell our kids you're different and the world's gonna treat you different and it's not your fault. We hate to do that too. None of us wants to rob our kids of their fucking childhood.
Come on now.
Hey, so racism's a thing, sorry buddy. You know, like, no one wants to do that, but then something like this, we would also know not to share it. You're like, hey, no, Peanut, let me talk to you for a second, homie. Don't do that.
Yeah, because they're children. They don't, right. They probably, neither one of them, all jokes aside, didn't think twice about that.
Right, they didn't, yeah, they didn't, white people didn't even know. That. Mm-mm. Like, this is not to excuse him, as more to say that, right, I truly do believe this. He don't know.
Correct.
And in many cases, like, people will be like, well, Rod, you're letting somebody off the hook by saying they don't know. No, I'm not. You need to understand the way my brain works. Not knowing is way worse than knowing and doing some shit. Like, it's worse to not know and to be responsible for a black child's life than to know. You know what I'm saying? Like, and be like, oh, I'm just gonna be fucked up today, it'll be funny. No. It's way worse to just be ignorant, because this means there's a ton of lessons in your house that aren't even close to become, that are not going to happen for this kid. You know what I mean? Like, that means somebody that, like, what else is that kid going to go through? That kid will never really truly understand, like, the peril that their life is in as a black person in America. You know, what historic lessons is that kid not going to learn? You know, you're responsible for raising this child to be a man or a woman or whatever. You know, you're to an adult. You're responsible for that. The fuck? And I know it's just an anecdotal one-off incident, but still, man, it's just like this, like, the fact that y'all thought this was cute and should share, why my god.
Yeah, thought it was gonna be cute, and it was shocked that people was like, this shit is not cute.
Yeah, so he deleted the tweet, but you know, the screenshots are forever, people say the video, all that shit. There's a bunch of black people reacting and stuff. LeBron and his family have a YouTube channel that has over 9 million subscribers. This is not their first brush with controversy. April 1st, LeBron, along with his wife Savannah, told their 6-year-old daughter that they were giving her puppy away as an April Fool's Day joke. They were also accused of fake evacuating during the California wildfires of 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, all these, that's the other part of this that just, I can't state enough. We do a podcast every day. I still don't know how these motherfuckers share so much of their goddamn lives. They just tell you everything. Hey y'all, I'm in Walmart right now going live. Hey man, I'm like, here I am with me and my kids eating breakfast. Hey, here I am driving my car. I'm gonna talk to this phone instead of drive my car. Like, I don't know how people can just do it. And we share a lot. Like,
we do.
I some of this shit, I'm just like, y'all ain't think that was just some shit that you keep in your brain? You remember Jess Hilarious and that Sikh, like, Muslim shit she did? Like, there's no part of your brain that said, you know what, Jess, this one's for me. Like, I can keep my fucked up thoughts to myself. I don't know, man. Anyway, 0 to 100.
Oh, this is 100.
Yeah, this is Jakaris for me. Yeah, burn the whole family to the ground except for Peanut. Give Peanut a new home.
Somebody come get Peanut.
Somebody come get Peanut. Okay, but Jakaris out of the rest of these motherfuckers. I cannot believe they thought
that this was, okay.
A good idea. I mean, I can, but why? You know what I mean? Just what the fuck, man? All right. Racist promposal sign will lead to severe consequences for Southern California students. But I thought California was woke.
Yeah, you know it's white people there too, right?
Oh, word? Oh, I didn't know that.
The sign, white people is everywhere. As long as you got white people, you're gonna have some shit.
The sign said, "You are racist, but I would give anything for you to go to the prom with me," but with the capitalized bolded letters that spelled the N-word. So they capitalized in bold letters in the sign that said, "You are racist, but I would give anything." Basically, they highlighted nigger throughout the sign.
What?
Yeah. Of course, it sparked outrage among students, former students, and parents on social media.
You don't say.
High school principal Dr. Alan Tyner said in a statement Wednesday that he would be meeting with all students class by class to review appropriate behavior and how to use of hurtful racial slurs like the one used on this recent picture posted on social media is unacceptable. Yeah, because they just didn't know, Karen. If once he gives them a stern talking to, that should fix the issue.
Mm-mm.
The photo, which was shared by several outraged Instagram and Twitter users Tuesday, shows the two teens holding up a sign with one student's name, one of their names, followed by, you are racist, but I would give anything for you to go to the prom. Certain letters in the name and the sentence were capitalized and bolded to spell out nigger. We have been in touch with the identified students and their families to inform them that we are forming a response and anticipate severe consequences. Tyner said in an email sent to parents Tuesday evening that was obtained by NBC News. They don't let Trump influence these children.
Yeah, you shouldn't be allowed to go to the prom. You don't know how to behave.
Just the prom?
Yeah, didn't you say this was a prom?
Yeah, I said just the prom. Oh. A slang term for
I mean, that's where you could begin is your ass ain't going to the prom.
Yeah, nigger was described as a slang term for African Americans. I'm hardened by the immediate response by our students and families on social media that made it very clear that our community does not support this behavior, said the principal. They are investigating who took the photo, if anyone else was present when the photo was taken. Of course, the news blurred out the faces and their slur. It's unclear who originally posted the photo online. Ava McCoy, 14, who was a freshman at Palos Verdes High School, told NBC News that neither of the students who were in the photo posted it to any of their social media accounts. I find the sign highly offensive, extremely. That's because they were sharing it. So these aren't stupid kids. They did this shit thinking they were funny, and then they tried to share it privately with their friends, and then one of their friends snitched.
Yeah, because they was like, this shit ain't funny.
Shout out to my white snitches this week.
Y'all, they been on it, ain't they?
Y'all the real MVP. Y'all be kicking it with them racists wearing wires, and you know what? I'll accept it. Now, most black people won't accept it because they want to be too woke, but somebody got to snitch for us to get better. You know, snitches is underrated in these type of conspiracies. This racism shit, police shit. I'll be like, snitch. I'll be praying for a snitch. So, appreciate that. Anyway, 0 to 100, Karen?
100.
Yeah, I would give this one 75. Shout out to the snitch. Boy, they getting crafty, ain't they?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Is there any other ones? We'll do this last one and then we'll move on. Former Fox News host speaks out about network's reputation for being bigoted and racist.
Okay.
Ebony, with an I, K. Williams, a former co-host of the Fox News Specialist, spoke out about her experience during working at a network in an interview with the Breakfast Club podcast this week, addressing those who say the network is bigoted and racist.
It is.
Shout out to the Breakfast Club. People are always going there to give those hot takes. Williams attributed to the reputation of the network to its founder, Roger Ailes, tapping into conservatives' fear of the intrinsic devaluation of whiteness in this country. Fox has a reputation for being bigoted and racist, all for very good reason, Williams said in an interview. In his book, Roger Ailes very plainly in plain sight says he is forming a network to speak to one thing and one thing only, the demonizing of the other. I don't know what his beliefs are, but what he knew was it would be very profitable. Okay, when you find a fear-based thing like that and you can capitalize on it in a unique way, no one had ever done this before. She said Ailes was a smart businessman who saw a void and filled it by offering conservative viewpoints. She left the work network amicably after her show's cancellation and went on to say that it's important on an intellectual level for people to understand Fox News' audience and acknowledge where their viewpoints originate. I went there because I felt I was going to be a savior of sorts and talk to the people in the middle that still watch the network, because whether we like it or not, Fox is number one for a reason, she said.
Racism. What the fuck are we talking about here? They didn't want your black ass there either. Your show got canceled, right?
I always find it funny that these type of black people always pride themselves on trying to reach somebody at Fox News. To me, they're no different than Bernie Sanders going on there. And I better not see any of them criticizing, like, one of these politicians were going over there. Because your black ass be going over there. And even worse, she not even, like, one of those, like, talking heads that go over there to, like, raise their brand. You had a whole show over there and shit. You know that shit wasn't woke. Like, you got to ride the company line. Like, anybody that works with them, to me, is willing to trot out that white supremacy bullshit. So I can't really fuck with you.
Mm-mm.
You know, and I get that that's sad because you're black and who, maybe you thought you were the spook who got in sitting by the front door, whatever the fuck. But no, I don't believe that shit. I think you absolutely have to compromise your values to even take that check.
Yes, you do.
And I think it's well known. I look at them as a propaganda arm of white supremacy in America, and I don't know how anyone can justify.
Look at it otherwise.
Yeah, how do you justify any of that other shit? And you left amicably, so like you didn't like no hard feelings on either side. So you was doing what they needed you to do. They didn't fire you.
Guarantee your show probably didn't get the ratings that you thought it would, because you probably not as radical as some of the other ones. So they was like, no, we're gonna just end this.
Yeah, or yeah, who knows.
But, you know, because
I mean, you saying she not as radical, but I'm saying who knows what she was saying over there. We don't watch.
That's true. And just
like black people don't watch Fox News. She could have been over there getting her Whitlock on. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I guess I'd never know.
And you know, the Breakfast Club ain't finna ask no follow up questions. Like that's not what they do. They just there to hope that you say something problematic and go viral. That's all. That's the whole point of that show. T.I. says leaving Neverland is part of an agenda to destroy black culture. 100. He said, T.I. came to the aid of Michael Jackson during several posts on Instagram. Let this man speak for himself to defend his legacy. Don't just listen to one side and expect to find the truth. Oh, that's right. Dead men can't speak. So what was the point again? He wrote on Instagram. Destroy another strong black historical legend. It's several examples of pedophilia in American history. If y'all pulling up all our old shit, we gotta examine Elvis Presley, Hugh Hefner, and a whole slew of others guilty of the same, if not more. That's always a weird argument for me, because it's like, when is that okay to discuss? Because it always goes to like, leave him alone, don't bring it up. Then when they're like, okay, y'all gonna bring it up, well, why y'all ain't talking about these other people? Well, how did you find out their names?
How did you find out that?
Yeah, it sound like we already know about the T on them motherfuckers too. You know, like I don't know why they say that shit. Oh, so it's such a weird,
right? It's just strange.
It's just always moving the goalposts, like Dominic Rivera when we talk about the Sixers.
Duh.
It didn't stop there. The rapper shared a 1999 interview between Pierce Morgan and Michael Jackson, where Jackson furiously rejected abusing any kid. I would slit my wrist before I would harm a child. I would never ever. If it wasn't for children, I would throw in the towel. I would kill myself. I wouldn't care to live.
Did he also share the interview of R. Kelly talking to Gayle King, or is T.I. not saying nothing about that one?
I don't know.
Self-proclaimed King of the South questioned the culture concept in another post about men who can't sacrifice their life to support children without being upheld. Once again, he continues to say black culture is being criticized. 0 to 100.
75.
Okay. I agree. 75. All right, now we can do some guest erase. All right, we got the tough stuff.
Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time. Now that it's time for some guest erase. That's right, it's guest erase time.
That's right, it's time for guest erase. The number one game show go across all the podcasts, and we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And everyone playing is a racist. All right, let's get to story number one. A man in Ohio was understandably not happy when he was sentenced to 47 years in prison. However, his first reaction probably didn't help his case.
Uh-oh.
He immediately sucker punched his lawyer.
What? David, the person that's supposed to be defending you?
Yeah, apparently he didn't think the person did defend him if he ended up with him 47 years. David Chilston, that is very weird spelling. Chilston was in a Cleveland courtroom on Tuesday for a sentencing hearing that involved nearly two dozen charges, including assaulting his girlfriend and setting fire to a Warrensville Heights apartment building in 2017.
Oh.
Well, I wonder if he did it. Chilston apparently didn't expect to be sentenced to nearly 5 decades on bars because immediately after his sentences, he punched his lawyer, Aaron Brockler. Courtroom security pounced on Chilston and subdued him. Chiselton, maybe? I don't know. Brockler suffered various facial injuries as well as a possible concussion.
He took the shit out of him.
It was pretty fun. Brockler, who had a small cut on his face, joked on to Cleveland.com. The timing of the punch was bad in a number of ways, including the fact that Brockler was about to tell Chilston he would see what options he might still have.
Right.
I turned to him because I was about to tell him I would come meet him privately to see if there was anything we could do to reduce the sentence. But before I could open my mouth, I just heard a swoosh sound. Brockler doesn't
remember. Not a swoosh.
Yeah, that Nike swoosh sound. I guess he got put in check. Brockler doesn't remember.
You know what that swoosh sound was? That members one jacket he had on there.
Members only?
Members one. Members only, Lord.
What happened to the members? How did members only get in this?
I turned in to talk to him, and then I just felt a swoosh and saw stars, and then I remember waking up under.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You know them jackets you have with the zip up and the pants and
I know what a members only jacket is. I'm saying, where did that come from? Like, why did you bring? Like, who was wearing a members only jacket?
Oh, he was, because that's the sound of the swoosh sound I'm hearing.
Oh,
you know the jacket. Them jackets make noise.
I do not totally get that, but I'm gonna go ahead and just move on. I don't understand it, but you know what? Not everything's for me to get.
I'm probably wrong too.
The inmate was wearing a members only jacket. The one who's on trial?
Yes.
And then he punched him, and because members only jackets make that sound.
Right.
Okay.
Because he said he heard a swoosh sound. I was like, well, with you with your normal clothes, I don't hear, your clothes don't swoosh. What swooshes? Jackets.
I get it now. I see where you was trying to go with it.
My mind ticks in weird ways, y'all. Work with me.
No, I didn't even think about that. I turned to him because I was about to tell him da da da. Okay, Brockley doesn't remember what happened next. All I remember was waking up on the floor underneath the table. Damn, he threw his lawyer under the table. Authorities are in the process of filing additional charges. Well, who the fuck gonna defend him for that? The damn sure wouldn't be me.
They'd be like, my lawyer didn't show up today. Mm-mm.
Right. Lawyer gotta show up with protective headgear and shit.
Your lawyer back there sitting with the common people behind you.
All right, Karen, guess the race of the man who punched him, David Chiselton.
White.
Karen says white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe the man who punched his own lawyer in the face at sentencing, what race he is.
Oh, moving kind of slow. Everybody's scared to guess. Okay, I see. White, black. What do I have to lose at this point? Black, white. I feel like he may be a niggering.
Niggerling.
Rock. Oh, niggerling. Okay, niggerling.
Yes. Ain't that hilarious?
Rocky Balboa white, two-piece spicy black white, Cleveland black white, Florida man white, porch cricket. Man, there's a lot of divisiveness between the groups. Cricket. Karen said white, and Karen, you're absolutely wrong. He was black.
Oh.
Some of you got it right, though. You said black. Looking like Paperboy.
Oh, yeah, he did that shit.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, too, is, like, in my mind, I picture him punching his lawyer like Sir Smoke-A-Lot punched his security in that I Want to Talk to Samson video. But he, like, shook his hand and punched him. All right, let's do another one, guys. Karen is already 0-1.
I know.
Mm-mm-mm.
This is not starting off good, y'all.
A New Jersey man is caught urinating on a memorial for a child.
Oh, no.
Come on, man. What? Come on, man. Who does this? What? I'm sorry. Oh, my God. That's so ridiculous.
I guess he says, since this was a pissy child, I'm just gonna go ahead and keep the tradition alive.
I guess so, Karen. I wonder if whoever filmed the video and made him go viral was like, you know what? You're in trouble. I'm just saying, Karen, peeing on the child's memorial seems rather extreme.
That's a good one! That's a good one!
Two men have been arrested after one of them allegedly urinated on a memorial for a 9-year-old boy who died of cancer. Brian Belace, 23, accused of defacing the monument in a park in Mays Landing, New Jersey, while Daniel Flippin, also 23, allegedly held a camera and laughed.
Oh.
So that's how he got caught. His friend thought it was funny.
You're right.
The memorial was dedicated for aspiring veterinarian Kristen Klopp, who died of an inoperable brain tumor in February 2012. His father, Mark Klopp, said he was disgusted by the video, called the suspect scumbags, but said his friends and neighbors had come together to clean up the memorial in the park. Mr. Klopp, a retired police officer, said, aside from the two morons facing criminal charges, I saw a community once again came together for a cause. I've heard from hundreds of people offering assistance, friends and strangers went to watch the memorial off. At the end of the day, the good outweighed and overwhelmed the bad. That is what Christian did during his life. He brought people together, and he has accomplished that again. Perhaps the playground will be beautified, maybe expanded as a result. It doesn't matter as long as it is enjoyed by thousands of children in the future. So, man, in an earlier Facebook post, he said, we do not personally know these individuals or why they would do such a thing. Because they was probably drunk, 23-year-olds.
You know, they was fucked up.
Yep. Flippin' of Hamilton is accused of having an open alcoholic beverage in the park.
You don't say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the other dude got charged with lewdness, disorderly conduct, and criminal mischief. Mm-mm-mm. All right, Karen, guess the race.
White.
Let me check the chat room, see what they believe.
You know what? I bet you when they caught him, they told him, you're in under arrest. Thank you.
That was
terrible.
It's not just terrible, but she also kind of stole my urine trouble already. It's just, I can't help myself.
I can't.
White, this motherfucker's a demon, White. Fuck that kid, White. White, white, piss smell like ammonia, white. Please let them be white. Psst, I'm snitching, white. These white boys are going to hell. As Soulja Boy would say, them crackers, white. white frat boys who took their night from being racist to do this white Cracker Barrel lunch special white. Aww. Fuck them kids white and hold my beer bro white. The correct answer is, and I think everyone went white on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And
them crackers,
y'all are right, they were white. I'm just gonna go to the bonus round. I'm not gonna show you the picture. It's just him. It's a video of the dude peeing.
Okay.
Instead of his mugshot.
Photo.
Yeah. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is 1-1. Let's see if she's gonna be able to finish off strong in the bonus round.
I'm gonna try, y'all. I'm gonna try.
All right. How an inmate hid a 24-inch machete in a belly fat roll.
What?
Mm-hmm.
How deep was those rolls?
That was pretty deep, Karen. A judge has ordered a mental evaluation for the Tennessee man who had a 24-inch machete so deeply tucked into and covered by a roll of belly fat that metal detectors failed to reveal the weapon's presence when he was recently booked into a Memphis jail.
Wow, is his belly made out of calluses? How did that cut you?
Frederick Johnson, 30, was busted in mid-December for aggravated criminal trespass at a bus station where he was known to masturbate publicly, otherwise disrupt and cause fear amongst passengers, patrons, and staff.
Wow.
When Memphis Police Department officers conducted a thorough pat-down of Johnson, they found two folding knives, a taser, and multiple bags containing what appeared to be controlled substances but actually were imitation narcotics.
All under his fat?
At the time, no, this is before that.
Okay, this was like a previous arrest, okay.
It's just his clothes. At the time of his collar, Johnson was serving a 3-year probationary term for a late 2017 aggravated assault conviction. Johnson had pleaded guilty to stabbing a man multiple times inside a Memphis homeless shelter. Johnson had been sentenced to 3 years in prison, but the execution of that sentence was stayed in favor of his supervision by a probation officer. In light of Johnson's December arrest, prosecutors had petitioned to revoke the suspended sentence he received in the stabbing case. Now the 6'2", 320-pound Johnson succeeded in smuggling a 2-foot machete into the Shelby County Jail, and is detailed in an affidavit sworn by Memphis police officer. After Johnson passed through the metal detectors inside the lockup, he was patted down by jail personnel who located an unknown object that had previously been tucked deep underneath a large fat roll. During the initial searches of Johnson and the fat roll, it appeared and felt to the touch to be a continuous piece of flesh. However, a deeper search of Johnson's body revealed an object of a semi-erect nature which protruded to the left of his person, consistent with male genitalia. When asked if this was his male member, the suspect answered affirmatively. As the search continued, jailers found a similar object protruding to the right of his person.
Ah! They're like, what the hell is this?
Though Johnson again claimed officers that happened upon his genitalia, officers became immediately suspicious of a concealed weapon. While the possibility of the male member protruding in two different cardinal directions exists, Officer C wrote, the likelihood of such an ailment and the lateral symmetrical nature of the object itself indicated to officers that a large object such as a pipe or club must be present.
It was like, look, we felt a lot of penises, and this is not
your 24-inch long penis?
Yeah, this is not penis action.
Is this your 24-inch penis on the other side too?
Right. Do you got two penises? I mean, if it's a medical thing, we understand, but we don't think this don't feel right.
When told he would be the subject of a strip search, Johnson went into his fat roll and extracted approximately a 24-inch machete wrapped with a pair of gym shorts that had been so deeply tucked into and covered by his fat roll that metal detection screenings did not reveal his presence prior to his entering the detention area.
Did he reach into himself like a black hole? Goddamn.
Maybe he got powers.
Must do.
The discovery of the machete resulted in Johnson being charged with a felony count of introducing contraband into a penal institution.
Johnson, whose rap sheet includes convictions of theft, criminal trespass, and disorderly conduct, remains locked up. He's due in court May 14th, when results of a mental exam may be disclosed. Karen, guess the race of Mr. Frederick Johnson.
White.
Karen is going with white. Let's check Frederick the chat room.
Frederick Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Frederick Johnson.
Johnson. You know what? Johnson, I'm going to go black.
Karen's going black now. Let's check the chat room. Let's see. Search me. I don't care. The fact that he thought that he might be able to sell them on the idea that there was his member, black. Them rose, black. Black. The butterfly knife, no, that's old. Let me see your belly roll, black. Belly roll! Jailbirds, black. I'm just happy to see you, officer, black. Black.
Oh.
The mental issues, black. Hey, jelly roll, Johnson, black. Blob, black. Change in my mind. Random basketball shorts, black. Just black. BBC black.
Oh. Yeah, oh, three
man.
Of them.
Oh man. So did everybody go black? Did anyone go white? I know someone said they changed their mind. Look like everybody went black on this. Well, everybody went black, including Karen. Mm-hmm. And everyone is right.
Nigga, I'm 100% nigga. Nigga, I'm 200% nigga. Nigga. Why do police hate niggas? Nigga. They hate us cause our dicks is bigger.
I'm about to say, if you was about to tell me I was wrong, I'm about to say, God damn.
Now, you could have asked for the spelling, which was FEDDRICK, which might have helped.
Oh!
Yep, but that was him. He's the guy responsible for all of that. Speaking of which, sore ratchetness. Yeah, that was it. That was the sword ratchetness as well. So have a good night, everybody. Until next time.
We did a 2-for-1.
I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.